Well, then let's call the meeting to order and we'll have a flag salute, please.
Allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the Republic of which it stands, one nation.
And could we have a roll call, please, Laura?
Director Forcroy.
I'm here.
Director Gatchell. Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohilski.
Present.
President Cesenia.
Here. Hey, with that, we will go on to agenda item 2. A public hearing to adopt proposed fiscal year 23-24 budget. It's a pleasure having this be so much less turmoil these days.
It has been very nice, and I always like to start off with thanking our staff who have do a lot of the heavy lifting and in the work that they've done. That's all the way down through our water crew, our field operations, because I rely on them and Margaret to help with identifying our needs. So with that, we'll get underway here. What I'm going to do, so, you know, we had the preliminary budget at our last meetings and we went into quite a bit of detail and made some decisions. So I definitely want to just go through the changes that were made since that May 4th meeting. And if you have any questions along the way, let's go ahead and have that dialogue, because there's quite a few slides, but some we can run through rather quickly. And as you know, I've laid them out in our major requests, what the impacts to our budget are. And then the summary table is always the easiest thing, because you can just see the numbers that I'm putting up in number, you know, words and all that kind of thing. So we'll get into one of our first big decisions was our dialogue on the Zone A property tax allocation. I provided three options, and the board decided to make a fourth option. And that was really based on the impacts that the basin repairs were having on the drainage budget, Fund 800. And so this was the final allocation. I did it in percentages because that works better in our spreadsheets. So when we're going to do 50, like for instance, $50,000 for water, it would actually turned out to 50,102 based on manipulating the percentages to get as close as we can. So this is the breakdown we decided to hold because I haven't received all the charges that we have up for that project up there. I will probably be bringing this back, but once I understand how much we're going to have to borrow from the interfund loan, I think it's going to be less. So then we might want to readjust these at some point in the future. Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming up with option 4 after our discussion last meeting. I'm not sure why you decided to go with the percent allocation versus the dollar allocation. Could you just explain that a little more clearly?
Well, because I didn't. How we've been, or how I've done it since I've been here, is we do it, it's all spreadsheet. And so I can go like 41.6%, 41.5. You're never going to hit exactly that 50,000 or, you know, 125,000. So it's always give or take $100.
Right.
So that's just basically to keep things consistent through the years. So that we can use that tool instead of estimating when we get in there.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because if that was just a whole number rather than a decimal of a number, then you'd have one column at least where there was single, you know, really simple digit numbers to work with. Here you've got, just for example, 41.7, and then you come up with 125,105, you know, whereas one of those could be whole.
Well, yeah, if you wanted to get rid of percentages, it'd be easy. Then we just do whole numbers. Right. But typically when we get into these discussions, we're going, well, let's do 20% there. Well, the math doesn't work.
Okay.
So this is kind of the compromise between the two.
So what we discussed last time, you just tried to make it work within.
Right. These were the numbers plus or minus about $100.
Yeah, within the system that right. You normally. Okay, exactly. That's just what I was trying to clarify. Thank you.
Uh-huh. The other decision, which wasn't as major as we, you decided to lower the Parks and Rec cost allocation percentage from 1% to 0.5%. We moved that half a percent over to fire because of the activity and work requirements that that fund's been needing. And so that was the other decision point, which then distributed through the cost allocation plan. So let's jump into Fund 100. Really, there was no changes here. We identified our major requests were personnel costs related to COLA for the three positions, admin clerk, administrative services manager, and general manager. The personnel cost increased by about $7,600, which was roughly 2% over last fiscal year. So it wasn't a huge impact on the overall budget. And the overall Fund 100 budget increased by 0.3% over last fiscal year. We try really hard to hold that number so the cost allocation of the other funds stays relatively stable. And so that's what this looks like in the summary table. The identified cost for personnel service supply went down. And then you can see the increase in expenditures for Fund 100. There's no questions. We'll go on to 200, which is very, very simple this time.
Oh, does Laura know Troy is in?
I'm sure she saw him walk in.
Okay.
I did see him come in. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
just you, checking.
Sorry. Glad you made it, Troy. This one's simple. There's a $5.45 increase because of that slight cost allocation increase that we just talked about. There's no questions here. We'll move on to Fund 301, which has a little more going with that we need to talk about. Again, the major or the changes here were the allocation of the approximately $125,000 of Zone A money to Fund 301. We did talk somewhat about the Schedule A charges. The actual charges came in the night of or the morning after the last meeting. They're $2.5 million. That's a $352,000 increase or about a 14% increase over last fiscal year. We were anticipating that. A major increase based on the labor negotiations that occurred for the fire unions up in Sacramento. So, it is a big hit, but it was somewhat anticipated. So we had some other increases in workman's comp insurance, increases in shift coverage by the reserve firefighters, some increases in service and supplies. All that amounted to about $39,000. So that would be added to, because Schedule A is in services and supplies, that's added to that large number that we're seeing there. Capital went down, capital improvements went down. We're not buying any fire trucks or vehicles this time. We just have to finish outfitting the command vehicle in this upcoming fiscal year. So personnel costs about $9,500. The overall cost increase is $391,000 to service and supplies, and that's because of Schedule A. And like I said, there's some other costs with vehicle insurance and equipment and tools and whatnot for about $39,000. And that's all reflected here. We do see a revenue increase based on Zone A, basically Zone A and fire truck tax increases that we'll see this year. Then you can see the service supplies, the big hit there, and then capital does go down from last fiscal year. Any questions on 301? 400 similar to 200, and we'll see that big $5.45 increase. Assume there's no questions there. We'll move on to Fund 500, our water fund. Again, the changes here are the Zone A property tax being confirmed and put into the budget. I did redo the capital project summary. That was based on I was anticipating that we'd finish the transmission main for the program C well this fiscal year, and that's not going to happen. So the last time you saw this, I think we had about $538,000 for capital going into this next fiscal year, but that's been adjusted. And I'll show you that in just a moment here. We did have increases, significant increases in our payroll based on our two-year SOCIA memorandum of understanding. So our crew will be getting increases. We did have some increases in services and supplies. And then, like I talked about, the reprioritization of the capital improvement projects. So what that looks like is salaries will go up about $97,000, minimal increase in service and supply, about $17,000. And then the overall capital increases only by about $13,000 over last fiscal year. So it's staying about even. And that's what we'd really kind of hoped, is we'd be spending about the same, you know, million plus each year on our capital projects. So I know this is kind of hard to see, but as you can see for the 23-24 projects, we're at about the 1.9 million. And that includes hopefully getting close to having program C well done. You know, that's going to end up about a $3 million project. You know, we didn't estimated about 2.1 million about 3 years ago, but it shows what inflation and supply chain issues have done. We will proceed with the North Tank, 16th Street North Tank. And we want to get the heavy equipment storage building structure done to kind of protect our heavy equipment. So how that looks in the summary table, we see that $97,000 increase in personnel, the service supply increases I talked about, the capital project. But overall, we're looking good, and we'll be able to add to our reserves as well this year. Any questions on that one? 600 is really no major changes. We did our MBS, who is our consultant services that helps us with our bond and property, you know, the payments for that bond. Fee went up about $250. So that's been included in, and this one's easiest really to look at the summary sheet. So you can see that the budget went up slightly, not only because of those costs, but also our cost allocation goes up. So we'll be reimbursed for our cost on managing or administrating that budget. But it's not a bad one, not very much of an increase. About $1,300. Fund 600 or 650, which is solid waste, there's really no changes. As I spoke at our preliminary budget time, this one, we're still trying to get our feet wet and understand what our expenditures will look like. We do know that our revenue is going to increase because the rate of the franchise fee increase will go up, and we'll definitely have some discussions about that and how we can help the community with the recent solid waste charges, rate increases that happened. But we did take down some of our expenditures, but like I said, it's pretty status quo on that. And that's reflected here in the summary slide. Any questions about 650? If not, drainage, we really didn't make any other changes except that we added Zone A property tax this year. Drainage, we hadn't had any large projects. So the last couple of years, there hasn't been a Zone A allocation. And like I said, this is anticipation of having to borrow money, do an interfund loan from Fund 500 and debt service related cost with that. There's also some minor increases with that slow, you know, the field crew operate, you know, raises coming in, but that's only about $1,000. And then we'll have that big debt service payment if we proceed with the loan at the amount that we identified a couple of months ago. So again, not much change except for that. Again, the reflection there in the summary table. And then finally, our parks and rec budget, we decreased the allocation going there. So it's reflected in the budget. We reduced the cost allocation by 0.5%. So really, there's about a $3,500 reduction because of that 0.5% reduction to their cost allocation amount. Otherwise, it stays, again, pretty much status quo. So with that, that's the end of my presentation. I did want to note that the Finance Advisory Committee looked at this on Tuesday night and recommended adoption of the budget at that meeting. And I can take any questions from you and eventually from the public.
Do we have any from the board questions? No. No surprises. I attended Tuesday night's meeting and we're, I think, pretty well prepared for what we saw here. It was interesting because we had a whole presentation on investments, and that's something we're going to be hearing more about. Anyway, with that, we'll go to public comment for agenda item two, the public hearing to adopt the proposed fiscal year 23-24 budget.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, in the room here. Okay.
I'll make a motion if we're ready for one.
Certainly are.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2023-21. Approving the fiscal year 2023/2024 final budget.
I'll second.
And we'll need a roll call on that.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Vice President Rehilke.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, excellent. That's good to be on track and be in a secure place and being able to take care of everything. Okay, general action item, agenda item 3A, consideration of a request by S&T Mutual Water Company to financially participate in the district's program C-Well project. So we're just going to talk about this tonight and give conceptual approval perhaps of a request and direction to staff. There's no decisions being made on a final determination or basis tonight. We're just going to talk about it and give direction to staff.
Correct. And I have a brief presentation. And there's also, I want to point out to the directors that Golden State Water Company submitted a letter that is in front of you there. And I'll quickly summarize it towards the end of my presentation.
We also got it via email.
Oh, did we? Okay, great. Thank you, Laura. So if you recall, back in December, back in December, the board conceptually approved an emergency water connection with S&T. That was based on the, you know, their sole source is one well. That source of water has seen elevated nitrates. There was concern if they had any interruption in supply, they didn't have a backup. So anyway, from that, I've been meeting a few times with a representative from S&T to talk about that intertie. They've been working on getting a grant to build that, and that's moving along. They haven't secured it yet, but the state has indicated that it's a good project, and if they can figure out, you know, the funds are tight in the different grant opportunities that are out there right now. But during this process, you know, S&T, according to their representative, were evaluating their long-term needs. And they've made it known at Basin Management Committee meetings for the past few years that they would like to participate in a program C-Well. And of course, ours, there may be one, a third one, but ours is definitely underway and actually about halfway through completion. And that they requested that the board consider their financial participation in that well. You know, if we decide to move forward, you know, again, I think you stated very well, President Sesenia, that this is, you know, conceptually to move forward, no decisions, because to tell you the truth, I don't know what this would actually look like. You know, that's something we'd have to explore. I mean, I can see the pieces, you know, we'd have to consider terms and conditions and the structure of that agreement. You know, they'd have to indicate the quantity of water that wasn't even part of their request, though they use very little, about 30 acre feet a year. Their representative indicated it wouldn't be that they'd want a full 30 acre feet. So it'd be something between, you know, maybe half or whatever they decide on. Things we'd have to consider would be the buy-in cost based on that quantity of water requested, some sort of a wheeling charge to get it from the Bay Oaks area to the point of connection, which is unknown at this time, but they definitely have to be part of our distribution system to get it from point A to point B, and then any ongoing operation and maintenance and cost sharing, we'd have to develop a methodology for that. Going into Golden State's concerns, and this was kind of tagged on to a concern that they had back when we first identified the Bay Oaks site as our preferred well site. And so attached to their letter from today is the letter from June 18th, 2021. And it's the proximity to their South Bay well, which is just off South Bay and Los Osos Valley Road. We did have Spencer Harris do an evaluation of the impact of pumping that in that proximity, and there could be the potential drawdown, you know, interference between the two wells. And it that evaluation showed that, you know, there'd be some impact, but not enough to impact how much water they could pump in terms of what we would be pumping. So this is a legitimate concern, and Golden State, you know, they've been a great partner. And I want to honor what they've said in this, and we definitely put that into the analysis of what we just talked about. You know, some of my first thoughts are that, you know, we wouldn't be changing how we originally set up the pumping regimen over there. And that was part of our environmental document that's referenced in this letter. And so there wouldn't be any change in that. What would happen is, the water from that the S&T could potentially receive wouldn't be directly coming from that well. It'd be coming from our system. So, but I want to make sure, you know, I'll reach back out to Spencer Harris and Cleith Harris, you know, geologists, to make sure whatever perceived impact this might have is analyzed. Because you have to understand that their demand, daily demand, is relatively low. On a peak day, I think they use about 20,000 gallons a day, which sounds like a lot of water, but it really isn't when you look at the amount of water that we pump through our system. And so, and that would be a peak day. That's not an average daily, and it's probably somewhere half of that. So I think an analysis would show that we wouldn't be impacting Golden State. But again, they've been a great partner, and I want to ensure that their concerns are addressed. With that, I am asking for approval in concept to look at this, and that at some point in time, once we work through issues, I would be coming back to the board with more definitive information. I could see this maybe being a three-step process, this being one, two, showing what we've kind of come up with, and the three, a decision point one way or another. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Sure. Questions. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. You kind of answered one of my questions. So I'm just wondering, they want to help participate in the program C, but my question was, if we deliver water, it's not necessarily from that well, but are they just trying to offer to defray the cost of us putting in that well because it saves them from having to drill a well?
Well, my sense is that, you know, they're where they are in the basin, drilling a new well really isn't an option. And so they want to participate in a well that's either in the central or eastern portion of the basin. My perception is this, you know, when they ask for emergency water, we are going to have to come up with some sort of cost. How do you cost it? So I think this kind of makes that part of the equation easier because they're actually buying the supply. It's technically over at Bay Oaks, but at the same time, it's going to come from our system. And so we would more be dealing with wheeling costs, operation and maintenance costs, and whatever cost of that portion of the project for the Bay Oaks well. So I think that helps them have an ownership of some water. That's a little more secure than asking us to provide water on an emergency basis when and if and when we could deliver it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why not ownership of the whole system. It's coming from the whole system, but I know you're going to figure out the numbers and the way you solve the problem, you know, may include that, or it just seems strange to me to try to purchase a piece of our system.
Like, well, really, they're not purchasing a piece of the system. Well, I guess they would be. It depends if we include the transmission. Is that the part that, because, you know, what they want is the water coming out, you know, out of the ground, you know, and the delivery system, either we own it or they could own that transmission portion that gets it to our system.
But then, and that we just don't know.
And then we would definitely, they'd have to somehow, we'd have to devise a cost from where it hits their point of connection, because it's going to cross, you know, cross town somewhere.
And then how many acre feet are we anticipating from that well?
200 acre feet a year.
Okay, so then that's like a 10% or something on the,
probably not even,
or less than that.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it sounds fine. It just, this is hard for me to.
It'll be easier once you see numbers and the methodology.
Okay, those are my questions.
Yeah, my comments around, I guess, exactly kind of what your the pieces are there. I recognize what Golden State is asking for, but another analysis of the same thing with the same numbers, I think, is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. We're not asking to increase the yield of that well. We're saying that they may purchase a piece of the well, but that water, as you just said, is going to be delivered by the entire LOCSD system.
Right.
And so there isn't, to me, there's no reason to go back to Spencer, ask him to go look at the same thing he looked at with the same numbers. Because all you're going to say is, we're still going to do up to 200 acre feet a year from that well. What's the impact to South Bay? Or South Bay and LOVR.
Right. I just want to make sure we're honoring their concern, one, and two, that we're in compliance with our environmental work that we're done, to make sure. If it's Spencer work, this isn't going to be a
But to be clear, I mean, you're going to ask him to analyze something he already analyzed.
Or it could just be a simple question. We're doing this because, you know, it'll come out of our system. Yes.
Sure.
And so what's that impact, you know, as well?
Like basin-wide.
Basin-wide.
From decreasing pumping over here and increasing it somewhere.
Exactly.
Within the CSD boundaries.
Correct.
Okay, but that doesn't pertain exactly to this well. So I think that's a little bit different.
Okay, fair question or comment.
Marshall, did you have questions?
Yes, more of a comment kind of thing. So I may be getting a little too technical since I do MND for a living, but I understand why they didn't want to drill the well down, you know, where they had their original opportunity, because what they claimed was the chlorides from coming down the hill, because they're still on septic systems.
Oh, the nitrates, yes.
Yeah, the nitrates, pardon me, and the saltwater intrusion, et cetera, which wanted to move where they were getting the well from, and they're willing to pay for, you know, their share of that production of that 200 gallons or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But the two questions I have here is, or I guess their comments or whatever, regardless of how you look at it, whether they're taking a 200 gallons out of well C or whatever well, they're still taking it out of our gross product. Correct. So it increases some pumping in that well or some other well.
Correct.
And that's where I'm not necessarily agreeing on the MND, but that's where I see an issue that needs to be addressed early on in the process. Mm-hmm. Is there going to be any impacts on any other wells that may even though we're pumping maybe only 20, you know, acre feet or whatever, that may cause an impact there. So I just think, I think Spencer does need to do an analysis, because we're not taking it all out of this well, we're taking it out of every well that we have. So I think that needs to be looked at, because it's coming out of all our wells, and it's basically a water pool, for lack of a better term.
Correct.
So
isn't it a very small percentage?
Very small. I don't know that percentage offhand, but it's
whether it's a small percentage or not doesn't really matter. It has to be looked at by well by well by well.
Sure, but we have fluctuations here that are way above and beyond.
But that's causing a large maintenance burden on us that needs to be included in any negotiations of costs that he has with S&T, because something that we would not normally do, we shouldn't be paying for it in the long term or the short term.
Seems like a way to calculate the cost wouldn't necessarily include that particular well.
I think we need to get an analysis of the impacts on every single well.
But I mean, I agree
not,
with that.
I mean, big picture, not to the.
Is that something that he may have already accumulated? Well, we've got a lot of data on this. Is everything that the basin plan has been pointing to is pushing us in this direction, move the wells to the east. So I think it's probably been anticipated that S&T's wells eventually are going to go away. I would guess that analysis, well, a good part of it's been done, maybe just not some kind of conclusion drawn to that effect. If S&T's wells are gone, this is the effect on the other wells in the basin.
Right.
And that's entirely separate question from, you know, how do we come up with the pennies and dollars about how much extra electricity it's going to take for our system, not for any particular well, that is going
to
be
operating. Peg it to one well.
Yes.
That's the whole point of this is that we're going to buy into this well, and we're going to pay O&M charges to this well. And that's going to represent whatever chunk of water. And that water is going to get made up, however it gets made up in the whole thing.
You know, that may be the way it has to come down. And the only way that you could come up with a true
estimate. How are you going to figure out the cost for?
I think you'd have to.
Eight wells, seven wells.
I did find some information in our agenda packet. Here is our average daily demand for April was about 430,000 gallons. And I would suspect for Goal or S&T, you know, their peak would be summer at 20,000. So you can see it's fairly insignificant, because I think if we're looking at our June, July, it's quite a bit more than 430,000.
I don't have a problem with, you know, them buying into our system, that their wells are maybe on their way out and they need water, and I don't. I think that's makes sense to me. I don't have a issue with that. And I just am not sure about the picking that particular well as being the way to calculate what the cost should be. And I hear what you're saying, that it's a small amount of our water. And I trust that you will figure out a fair price. I'm just not sure it would necessarily need to include like the Program C well, Bay Oaks well in particular. To me, that just seems like making it maybe unduly complicated.
I would assert it's probably the other way, and that makes it much easier to calculate.
Well, but you know, think about, and I'm going back to the MND based on what was just said. Think about this though. What happens if one of our wells go out of service? Then we are increasing the water pumping from that well. And that goes back to my MND concerns. That's why I think we need to have Spencer look at this and see really what the impacts are based on some realistic alternatives.
Right. And that's why I was saying we need to honor their Golden State's concern and look at that.
Definitely, definitely. We're all in this basin problem together. So we want our partners to be happy. and content and satisfied with every move that we make. So if the shoe's on the other foot, we would expect the same courtesy.
Right.
We have to come to meetings together every month. So.
Yeah,
yes, Troy, what do you have questions?
Hmm? I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no, my original question was what Chris was asking around the volume of the water, and it seems small in comparison to what we have. You know, I think tying the costs to one well, I don't know what's going to be easier if we broaden or one well. It seems like one well costs would make the easiest calculation.
I believe so.
Okay, well, I'm in favor of what's easier for you.
And like I said, right now we're talking about conceptual, and that we'll work through a lot of this.
I trust you'll work out the details in an equitable way. So I just...
I still think the important thing to make everybody understand is that we're not even remotely thinking about going past the 200 acre feet a year that we originally intended for that well. Like that's not what we're saying. Even if you, however that goes around, we're not going to go past that, because that's literally what we got permits for. And at this point in time, what's stopping us from pumping that well besides us putting in the equipping and the infrastructure?
Besides having the pipe to connect it?
Yeah, I mean, as far as permitting or anything like that goes. Is there anything stopping us?
No.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. No, there's nothing stopping us.
Okay. It sounds like we're ready maybe for public comment on this item. Okay. Public comment for agenda item 3A, please.
If you're online, please raise your hand. If you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. We'll take in the boardroom first.
Richard Margetson. I agree with Matthew. You can't go over the cap. But is this agreement going to have a cap on the maximum that S&T can draw? You were saying 20,000 down the road. Could it be they need more than that, which reduces the availability to our system for the difference? You know, we're building the thing, the well. I don't want it to go from 20,000 to, you know, 200,000, because they're having problems in another part of the district with a well, and they need more water from that system. So anyway, that's a concern, but I absolutely agree with Matthew. Can't go over the max.
Good point.
Do we have any online public comment?
We do. Toby, you just have to unmute yourself.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, members of the board. I'm Toby Moore. I'm the Water Resources Manager and Chief Hydrogeologist for Golden State Water Company. I appreciate Ron Munn's summary of our comment letter. I think he accurately described our concerns. Golden State is very supportive of the district's Program C well project, and it is a key project identified in the Basin Management Plan. And we also appreciate S&T's efforts to shift production from the western area of the basin eastward. However, we still do have concerns that the mitigated negative deck did not consider any additional waters to other areas other than the LOCSD service areas. So I think it's prudent to do the analysis that you all have been describing in your comments this evening. So I appreciate that and thank you.
Hey, do we have any other online comment?
There's no further public comment online.
Okay, with that, we'll bring it back to the board. And
if I could just answer Richard or address Richard's concern. And yes, there would be a contractual cap.
Yeah.
You know, and if there was other terms, how to open that up to discussion, it would definitely be another board decision if we were going to increase or do anything with that.
But even assuming that all their wells went down, their daily use is pretty minimal. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and unless they all of a sudden start selling water to Cambria or something, then I think we're probably okay. And I totally agree. We cannot Brent, we're not going to go past the bounds of the environmental commitments that were made. We know what the safe yield at that well is, and Spencer's pretty well worked that. So,
and one other thing I wanted to point out, I mean, there's not going to be a pipe from Program C well, from our Bay Oaks well, in this scenario. There's not going to be a pipe from there going to S&T directly. Right. It commingles with everything. Okay. So
right. But in that case, then the maintenance of all the pipage is part of their responsibility.
Sure. However that stuff gets parsed out, makes sense. But pumping that well and selling, you know, basically wheeling that water is like a fraction of nothing, basically. So
I just
want to bring that up.
Can I?
Well,
can I make a comment?
Yes.
I wanted to 100% agree with Richard's comment. I do think there does need to be a contractual cap. The thing that's going to have to be considered when that's being negotiated is if there's a, you know, water shortage because it hasn't rained and the base is not being recharged, that could become a safety issue. So
Very good point.
So the contractual has to consider that safety issue right. too. Health, you know what I'm saying? Health, welfare, health, safety, and welfare issue.
Okay, I think maybe we're ready to provide some direction to staff.
I make a motion to approve in concept S&T Mutual Water Company's request to financially participate in the Program C well project and to direct the staff to return to the board at a future date to be determined to provide more information on the possible terms, condition, and structure of any future agreement with S&T regarding financial participation in the Program C well project.
I'll second that.
Okay, I think all we need is a voice vote here.
Can I just clarify one thing? When we're talking about in that second part in the bottom sentence, the financial participation, it's really a broader participation in that. So so isn't it really just the participation in a Program C well?
What do you mean by what other
well, aren't we figuring out what we're gonna charge to purvey? Isn't that the whole thing?
That's if that's the basis, yeah.
What other participation?
What other concepts do you want in there?
Well, I don't know if there might be some other concepts, like for example, they may be willing to maintain part of the pipage. That's not really in my mind, financial participation is participation. I just wanted to leave that open.
Matching, that could be called matching funds, and that's a sense of financial participation. Well,
I mean, I just want to make sure. No, I just want to make sure we aren't
boxing ourselves
in at this early in the process.
If I could interject, I don't think that's going to be an issue because we're at such a conceptual part that, like I said, this is probably going to be a three-step process at the minimum. And that we can get into those
fine details
more and more as we
can. Okay, then I'm fine with it. I just wanted to.
There really is. This is just a general direction to staff to continue working on something. So there's not really any limitation that comes out of it one way or another. There's no final approval. There's no commitment. It's just you're essentially telling Ron, keep working on this project and bring something back for us.
That's fine. So everyone that's in favor of that, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that motion carries. And we'll go on to agenda item 4, public comment for items not on the agenda. First, Ron, here. Is it any different than the agenda that was in our packet earlier?
I'm not sure why that's
there. I don't see a difference. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Sometimes it's not different. It was supposed to be placed at the door. I apologize for that.
Okay, so I'm not that confused for a change. So agenda item 4, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're at the boardroom, please come up to the podium and we will take in the boardroom first.
Hello, I'm Tom Tengden. I just wanted to say thank you for appointing me on the ESAC committee. I'm the new member of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee meeting. I'm a new two-year resident of Los Osos. I've been in the fire service for about 13 years as a reserve. I still teach fire mechanics at the Fire Mechanics Academy every year. I work for PG&E here locally. Hopefully they won't hold that against me. And I'm looking forward to serve the committee. I've already been to one meeting, and I'm encouraged to serve. Thanks. I just thought I'd come and introduce myself.
We appreciate that. That was a good meeting the other night. That's a strong committee.
And Tom's a great addition. Thank you, Tom.
I think so.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
There's no public comment online.
Okay, and no other here in the boardroom. So we'll go on to agenda item 5, administrative and committee reports. Fire department report. Let's see, got that here.
Chief Province is online. You just got to mute yourself.
Oh, good. Okay.
That's good. There you go. I just had to find the button. All right, so we'll go ahead and go over the monthly incident summary. So looks like for the reporting period, we had a report of one structure fire, one vehicle fire, and three other fire types. So that would be dumpsters and debris fires and that things of that nature, and then no vegetation fires. The structure fire was a call that we had the other night. Was just a arcing electrical panel, no actual fire. Looks like we had 7 vehicle accidents, 3 rescues, 2 medicals that we were requested by law enforcement, 104 medical aids, and 2 medical aids that CPR was initiated upon 911. We had 1 hazardous type call, so probably a gas leak, and then one other type call that doesn't fall into any of our classifications, and 20 public assists. Looking at incidents per month, looks like we trended up this month. We were up from 96 last month to 145 this month. I'm guessing with the sunshine coming out, people are starting to come out a little, coming out of their houses a little bit more. And so we should see an increase in call volume. South Bay aid given to other agencies. Looks like we, the engine helped the county twice and helped CAL FIRE, San Luis Obispo 4 times. CAL FIRE San Luis Obispo would be synonymous with San Luis Obispo County. And then it looks like our medic squad went out 1 time in the county area and 7 times out into the state area. And then aid received from other agencies. Looks like Morro Bay came over to help us twice. The county came in to help us 5 times, and CAL FIRE came in to help us 7 times. Those would be vehicle accidents. They would be structure fires, any other type of fire or vehicle accident or rescue. Any questions on the statistical report?
I really like this process that you started with these graphs, because I think it's really understandable a lot.
Very thorough. Yeah. Helps us see everything.
Good. And then if there's any adjustments, in the future that you guys would like, just let me know, and I'll work with our data processor to try and make that happen.
Really nice.
Looks good.
Good. One question, or maybe it's just a comment. I hope that the assist for the swim portion of the Ironman triathlon was just crowd control or kind of a standby role and not actual assistance.
Yeah. So, I'll go into that with the board, with the actual report. So, we were requested by Morro Bay to do some boat standby. We had 1,980 participants in the Ironman triathlon. So as you can imagine, that's quite a workload to monitor 1,980 athletes in the water. And so Morro Bay brought their personnel on. Cambria Fire brought personnel down. We were out there with our jet ski with 1 operator, 1 swimmer. And then K-38 came in and provided some support. All the lifeguard agencies within the county were all there on rescue boards providing support. So a pretty good workforce that we had out there. We didn't have any emergency incidents, but we did have some folks that we had to escort out of the water for various different reasons. But all in all, pretty successful event, and we were happy to help them out.
Good.
Vacant lot inspections, we've completed them, the first round of things, and the notices are being mailed out next week. We put our focus on the vacant lots this year. We'll be moving on to the individual properties with residents on them next. We're hoping to talk with residents that have issues, and rather than just give them a notice that their weeds are too tall, we'd rather talk to them and help them through the process and kind of just get some education and hopefully have a more positive interaction. Initially, I think we had about 200 violations on the vacant lots. I think that's dwindled down as we've been kind of doing some patrolling and seeing what's out there. And folks seem to be coming into compliance on their own. So we're just trying to help that along a little bit. Hiring for reserve firefighters is open. Applications are available at the station. We're kind of in a challenging position with our reserve firefighters right now. Right now on roster, we have 18. We have two out on injury. We have a few that have accepted jobs with other agencies that'll be moving on and probably resigning. And then we have some folks that are not participating. So we will probably be asking them to resign here in the future. So we do have four candidates that we're looking to put through an interview and physical agility process. Hopefully we can grab a couple more candidates before we do that. But sometime this month, we plan to go ahead and get that going because we're short staffed now. So I think by the time we have the injuries and the folks that are either be resigning or being asked to resign, we'll probably be down in the range of 10 to 12 reserve firefighters, which is difficult to sustain our staffing. We're going to start up doing hands-only CPR demonstrations at the farmers market in June, and we're going to be doing that once a month through the summer, just to get out there in the community and get the word out and see if there's any other questions we can answer for folks, whether it's defensible space stuff or vial of life stuff or just general fire safety tips or just getting folks to understand CPR and how to do it in the event of emergency. The state's been doing 4291 defensible space inspections in the Los Osos area in the SRA. They've been working in and out. They have not told me that they're complete yet, but I imagine they're getting fairly close. They've been working since the beginning of May. We have been the number one priority for the state in our area. So hopefully those notices are going out for the residents. Typically what will happen with those with the state inspections is you won't get contacted unless you have a violation. So folks that do have violations, if there is somebody present at the property, they'll contact you. If not, you receive a notice via mail. And then we've been working with Toro Camp, which is the new 3C camp within the unit. They came into the Bay Oaks neighborhood last year and did some fuel abatement. We've been working on getting a contract with them to bring them back out. And I don't know if that contract is complete. Ron might be able to speak to that. But they should be back out in the neighborhood sometime within the next month or so to start working that area. We have secured a meeting with U.S. Fish and Wildlife to go over the overall fuels issues in Los Osos. And so hopefully we can get some clarifications on some points. Last year, we submitted a document to them that I think we may have overreached a little bit. And so we didn't necessarily get the most positive return from them. So hopefully we can clean that up this year. And then we'll also be meeting with Dan Turner from the Fire Safe Council to discuss direction for Los Osos and a potential vegetation management plan for the area. And that's the end of my report. Any questions?
Doesn't look like questions. Good luck. And the relationship with Fish and Wildlife, that's important to foster that. They're a part of what's going to be allowed to happen there. And it's good to hear your voice. I hope it's a quiet summer and we get to hear it more.
Yes, hopefully next meeting with things kind of shifting around and me not being on the road quite as much, hopefully I'll be there in person next time.
Great. Thank you. Be safe.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, next, the Sheriff's Department report.
Hey, everybody. Sergeant Coyes, Sheriff's Coast Station. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So looking at the report for this past month, looks like we had 71 calls for service in Los Osos, which is exactly what we had at this time last year. Six of those were assault or batteries. We had 29 disturbance calls, four burglaries, 5 thefts, 5 vandalisms, 0 mail theft, 1 phone scam resulting in a loss, 25 suspicious circumstances calls, 66 proactive enforcement stops, could be bicycle stops, traffic stops, pedestrian stops, and then 19 preventative patrol activities, extra patrol, things of that nature. And that is all I got. Is there any questions from anybody?
No, not from the committee. I'm glad to see that we held the line and didn't increase calls for service this year, unlike the rest of your service area. Looks like you had an increase there. So we'll try and hold the line again next year. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Did the email come through today to you guys with the report?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. The only reason I ask is our legal clerk said she got a kickback to somebody she sent it to. So want to make sure it wasn't you guys.
Might've been one of our emails at home or something. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. The Highway Patrol report.
That is written only tonight.
Yes. Mr. Klingenberger is out of state on vacation and his alternate has been promoted out of the area and they haven't replaced him yet. So we've got a written report here.
And there are copies at the back of the room for anyone that wanted to pick up, and they are online.
Okay, Utilities Department report.
Basically, there's really no major updates. Usually I combine that with my general manager's report. Just have a few updates on our projects. Water use was down a bit. Again, for April. So we still had we are still wet. So we anticipated that it'd be wet. But now it's starting, I think, you saw the numbers for May, which you'll see next month. It's about even from the previous May. So nothing much on the utilities department report. I have a few things on my general manager's report. We continue to meet with the county planning department, making some progress on the water offset study, the Title 19 work that we have been talking about for quite a while. We've had two days in a row, to wrap up comments on the draft study. That'll be coming out to the public in mid-June and possibly to the board by June 30th. So as soon as that's made public, I'll make sure the board sees that. That could influence our water conservation, will influence our water conservation program, but also be a step towards resolving things with the Coastal Commission, hopefully. I'm happy to say that the Cabrillo Basin repairs are complete. We're fully demobilized up there, meaning everything's been removed, including the K-rail on Ampecho Valley Road. We appreciate everyone's help and cooperation through this very intense period of time that we've experienced here in Los Osos. The work continues, though, with FEMA reimbursement, very tricky, but continue to navigate through that process. I'm optimistic that we will see some reimbursement for the expenditures that we've had up there. And then finally, this is along the lines with the Basin Management Committee. CSD has been acting as lead agency for a grant to not only look at recycled water facilities and utilization of recycled water around the community, but the main thing is to build a transient model. We're working through a static state model for all these years. A transient model be a huge step in our understanding of how our basin actually operates. So we went out to RFP for a competitive process. Cleith Harris geologists were awarded that contract. We had 3 very outstanding proposals that were provided, and a group of BMC membership did that selection. With that, I can answer any questions.
I had a question about, I was hoping maybe you talk a little bit about Schedule A this year and that cost increase. Can you help remind us of kind of the yearly cycle with our fire contract?
The way it operates in our contract, we're supposed to start early in like January, and County Fire, Cal Fire is supposed to provide us a cost estimation for the upcoming year. We also go through, there's several parts to the contract. Schedule A is only one of them. And then we're supposed to update and look at the other, parts of that contract and agree upon that, yes, this part needs to be changed or everything's fine, that kind of thing. Now, the Schedule A charges are really out of control of our local unit. That's all negotiated up in Sacramento. That negotiation, and I think, had been going on for a couple of years. And so that there's been this kind of, so there was a retroactive part of that pay increase. And there are some other benefit enhancements, educational things. I don't know all the pieces. But I remember Chief Province telling me that we could anticipate about a 15% increase.
So when do we formally accept that Schedule A? Because Schedule A is really a cost estimate, right?
Right.
So when do we formally adopt that?
Well, what we do in the budget, we took that. I'm going to get back when the unit chief changed to Eddie Moore. We had a more formal process where they submitted and the district, the board actually accepted that. And basically that was saying the contract's good, from last year or any changes that we agreed to. Okay, that kind of went out with Eddie Moore. We have a new unit chief and they've been in transition in their management. So it's been a challenge.
Sure.
We didn't get the Schedule A charges. And like I said, until very late in the process.
So we've basically accepted a budget. So basically you'll be able to go and execute that contract.
Right. It's not really an execution. It's just there. It's a rollover in terms of how it's been handled the last 2 years now. It's just because we haven't made any contract changes. Sure. Except for the Schedule A. And as we're aware now, the true up is what we'll be watching for, because Schedule A is an estimation.
That gets to Schedule A being an estimate versus the actual charges, right?
Right.
So have we been getting, because I know that was an issue, like getting detailed breakdowns of what the actual charges are?
We received our first invoice for this fiscal year. See, where are we? May, in January. And I went around for about a month and a half to get clarification on that, and to a point where I was satisfied.
So they're providing more than just a sheet of paper.
Yes.
With the same number of Schedule A.
And the county's been very good about saying, should I pay this invoice or not?
Okay. So, and then that gets to the true-ups, but really, like, we're looking at that accumulated, we've been paying actual or estimated costs for several years.
Right.
And so we're getting back the difference between estimate versus actual.
Well, we've had one refund, that $450,000 from last fiscal year, and we're still waiting for final audit results for the 2-3 years prior to that.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to catch up on it. I know I would appreciate having that agendized when we get the audit, so we can go through what happened and what's changed, and then the process that we should all be looking for to keep it
going. Right, and there's been some changes that I'm asking, and the county's now involved, because I believe, I'm not sure who actually has the money, Cal Fire or the county, because now they're trying to say we owe countywide overhead at a percentage that we've never paid before. And so I'm in, I wouldn't even call it negotiations, saying they have to show me where that state is stated in our contracts, either the county fire contractor or our contract.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But going forward, like the latest bill that we got, the latest invoice is actual costs.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. That's a little detour, but it's
no, no. Thank you for that. It's been a while since we've caught up on just where all that is, and I appreciate that.
It's ongoing,
and the fact that Ron's been working on it for a long time. So I'm glad you bring it up again.
It's a big issue.
Like they should.
It's a big.
They've had a lot of excuses as why they haven't. I mean, probably good, valid excuses, but it's still.
You're gonna start.
It's to the frustration level now. That no.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's something that we should keep current and not like
we're going to get a sizable refund. I hate to say it now, but it's going to be sizable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. That was it for me.
Any other questions, comments? Okay. See, that was the general manager's report. And now we'll go on to the Chamber of Commerce report. We have one. Well, then you should.
Chamber of Commerce, this weekend on Saturday from 5 to 7 at the South Bay Community Center, we're having our annual awards dinner. If you'd like to attend, tickets are still available. Go to the website for the chamber, which you can Google. Just decide how you want to spell it, but it's LOBPCC, Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Yes, we'll be giving the, because we didn't give awards, we did give them during COVID, but we didn't have in-person recognitions of those people. So we'll be going back and doing 2021 and 2022 and for the Chamber Awards, and then for the Citizen of the Year Award, which is given by a separate committee, we'll be giving that for this year. So anyway, go to the Chamber website. I'm sorry, I was going to read it off while we were sitting here, but it's so long, I couldn't even read it in the rest of the day, I think. But anyways, Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce, Saturday from 5 to 7, and it's going to be a very, very good time, and we'd appreciate attendance of anybody that's interested in moving forward our community on a social and a business basis. Other than that, that's all we've been working out with the chamber lately.
Thank you for that report. Let's see, Community Advisory Council, we have a written report, very thorough. Thank you. Anything anyone has questions about that written report, I'm sure you'd be happy to address those. Anything you want
to? I apologize because I just try to say what people said. I find it interesting, but I'm not sure how great the grammar is, or sometimes I miss words.
Or spell someone's name two different ways.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Or better write the second time. So that's
the second important. Or third time.
It's up there on the Zoom screen, so I don't really have an excuse.
Okay. Well, thank you. See, Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, no meeting this month.
And there is a typo there. Our next meeting is June 20th.
Yeah. I want to plug that a little bit. We're going to be discussing the Parks and Rec elements of the community plan update and in conjunction with LOCAC. Ron's been working with LOCAC and looking for opportunities to work together. And also, I think we're going to have the Los Osos Little League president there to talk about basically what's going on with the sports fields in Los Osos and the challenges that arise with dealing or negotiating with the school district. I think maybe we can look at ways, hopefully we can bring in the soccer players and the pickleball players and the tennis players and really go talk to the school district, because the short-term answer is the facilities we do have are at the schools. And mm-hmm. I think if we could act mm-hmm. as that clearinghouse, that would be more powerful.
Yeah,
there should maybe be. Somebody here knows some of the school board members.
I think we do. Oh, yes, my neighbor.
I know.
I did have a conversation with the pickleball rep today and told her about our meeting and the bigger picture, and the school district. They're having issues with the school district as well.
Yeah. So that's
a shame. The community facilities are hard to come by, and we need to share.
Yeah, and instead of having all these, folks, maybe all at once might be a good tactic. So,
well, that's one of the reasons we created the Parks and Rec Committee was to help in that process, which there was no process available for anybody. They just have to go knock on random doors. But that's, so I think you guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, so I would recommend that meeting. I think it's going to be very useful to help, give hopefully some guidance to the county about what we need as a community now versus when that was even written, and then also what we can do in the near term. So,
how good. Do you want to loop in the school board, or do you want to invite them to the meeting? Or
we're going to, I think, meet with community organizations first
and then talk to them,
make a plan to go to the
Yeah, have a strategy together.
That sounds good.
Any school board member is more than welcome to attend. I'm sure that would be good.
Oh, when is it?
Tuesday the 20th.
Here?
Right here. 5:30.
Good. Summer's here. It's time for parks and recreation activities.
After this winter, yes.
Yes.
It's dying by the time. It's still being light.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Matthew. Utility Advisory Committee meeting basically went over a lot of the BMC stuff that Ron covered already. The grant for the recycle water recycling study, the transient model, that kind of thing.
We did touch on the annual monitoring report.
Yes.
Because that was part of the BMC as well. So.
Yeah, and basically the results were fall monitoring, which compared results to last fall and showed that the trends are maybe not significant, but slightly headed in the right direction, considering we had a very dry year. That was important. We held our own in a dry year and then actually improved a little bit. So this next monitoring cycle will be very interesting.
Is there a, do we know if we'll have preliminary, when we would have preliminary numbers?
It should be any time. Last time I talked to Spencer, they have all the data. They just hadn't put it all together and crunched it. So he said
this next month.
Said the end of May, so it should be any time.
Okay, that's exciting.
Based on the number of seeps I saw everywhere I hiked this winter, it's very wet. We'll just say it's going to be very, be good results. The Finance Advisory Committee.
Okay, a lot this week. I want to emphasize we need to recruit more finance. I mean, it felt like we were filling up, and then, we lost a new member that was really great because they're moving, and but we're not able to approve the minutes because all we have is Lisa. So the only one off the hook is Marshall. We need to go beat the bushes and get some people out there because. Lisa's got a vacation plan for
September and October meetings.
Yeah, so then we'll have no meetings. So, but anyway, I want to bring that up. We had a presentation from Optum Investment Advisors, and I think we decided to for Ron to go ahead and try them out. They have like a 30-day free look. So if we change our mind in 30 days, we can stop. But in their presentation, they think they can get us 4.25% to 4.5% yield. I mean, interest rates fluctuate every day, minute by minute, so they're just giving us a ballpark picture of what the rates look like yesterday or 2 days ago, but it should be ballpark around there. And their fees were 20 to 25 basis points. So 100 basis points is 1%. So when interest rates were at 0.25% or almost zero, it doesn't really make sense to hire anyone, but the interest rates have gone up like a tremendous amount. We haven't seen these interest rates for over 10 years. And or maybe longer now. And so one of the reasons I like hiring an outside person too is to take some weight off of Ron. You know, he has the authority to purchase the investments, but I like, handing that over to a professional to do. And then Ron would probably meet with them on the phone quarterly or as needed.
Yeah.
And so it would be just like a short amount of Ron's time rather than trying to, you know, do a ladder himself and work with multiple different banks. So they think that they can increase our revenue by like $400,000. So I think that's like $33,000 a month. We should do that ASAP. Because if we make our money earn money, then we don't have to raise as much, or we can, you know, pay for things. And so anyway, I think that was really good news. That's a decision we made. I think we'll come back with more details.
Yes.
But the other odd thing is that usually the longer you invest, we can invest out to 5 years. Usually the longer you invest, the more interest it pays. But right now it's like the highest interest rate is like 1 to 6 months. And it's also treasuries, which are, you know, among the safest investments because our government can print money. So it's just like an unusual opportunity. So normally, I don't know if I need to go further into that, but anyway, there's like 4% and 5% interest rates out there. But, you know, if it's 6 months, who knows what in 6 months it'll be, might be less or more. So anyway, I think that's the big news. And then the regular Lisa recommended approving the warrant register. Recommended the, let's see, does she, what does she recommend for the budget? Just
that we
pass the budget,
right.
And that we receive and file the financial reports, the normal. And if you have any questions about that, I apologize if I'm being confusing.
I want to just kind of clarify. So like the big picture was we have money in banks right now, and we want to take the money out of the banks and put it in laddered bond funds because we're not earning interest to the same extent. And I'm just trying to remember what I remember.
Oh, we're not doing bond funds.
No, to a laddered bond portfolio, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I said the wrong thing.
Okay. Just.
Yes.
That's okay.
Laddered bond. So we own the bonds.
Yes.
So we always get our money back.
Correct. And like treasuries are very liquid. Like they're recommending we also do some CDs. CDs are less liquid, but you just make sure you don't put more money in there than you need. And they did a really nice cash flow report for Ron. So you always want to make sure things are maturing in time to pay bills, and then you keep a certain amount probably in money market.
But there was kind of like two reasons, right? One was security, one was to take advantage of increased performance, basically, right?
Yes.
And the security part was something that I felt like we talked about pretty seriously a couple months ago.
So yes.
Is that still one of the big concerns here?
All the investments that we're probably looking at are like among the safest investments that exist.
Yeah, everything federally insured. It would really be, I attended the finance committee meeting the other night. So I understand, and I'd probably be a little, have heartburn over a change in direction like this without a full board vetting. But
I think that's not what I don't think that's what I'm trying to say. I guess like where we sit now, it seems like we're exposed because we have balances that far exceed FDIC insurance.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that kind of simple stuff.
Is a move towards security.
Yeah. Oh, okay. In that sense, I see right. What you're saying. Yeah.
And so what we'd be doing is opening a custodial account. And so then our money is our money. Mm-hmm. We already have a custodial account with US Bank that's paying off our bond debt. I think what we're looking at is moving to Pacific Premier. And then we'd probably still keep a good chunk of money at Mechanics Bank where it is now, because that's where we pay our bills out of, but we have more there than we need.
Okay. Yes.
But yeah, we'd be moving to a, what'd I just say?
custodial account.
Thank you. And then we also do LAIF. Like LAIF is their interest rates lag. So that's good. When interest rates are going down, their rates are higher for longer, but now interest rates are going up. So they're up to 3%, but they're like behind. But I do like the idea of having money in more than one place in case something, there's like a hiccup in one of those places, you can draw money from other places. So to me, I think that's a reason to keep using LAIF, even if the interest rates are a bit less. I think over time they'll catch up.
And I plan on bringing this back to you in July because we'll have all this laddering and, right. And the investment right. opportunities ironed out.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember like the conversation before this conversation.
But we're sticking with all our objectives in the investment policy.
Talking about agencies, and I would be happy to stay away from like home loan stuff. I think they were talking about that, but I guess it depends on how much are they paying for like extra risk. So they're maybe not always, but I'd like to see their proposal before we implement it, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of the best rates are in the treasuries. Any other questions?
I was going on the committee part back in April before I had appointed Tom Cross, and I don't know if Laura's going to reach out to him about the next committee meeting, but I was out of vacation, so.
He had some personal issues come up and had to step out.
Okay. I've been.
Yeah. It was like, so, I mean, I was very excited. I think we had 4 people.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't get that news.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was out on vacation. And
oh,
stuff,
you
so
thought you were good.
News. Yeah. I thought it was good.
You're out recruiting. You're out recruiting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. He had some major issues. He resigned as president of the Chamber of Commerce too. So,
all right.
I wouldn't.
Well, thank you for that. You tried.
Well, I tried.
I would.
You can find another time, you'll be doing good.
All right.
Okay, anything else on the finance report? That was a good presentation. I felt good after seeing that. And I agree, as many hats as we asked Ron to wear, that wasn't really the main one. It was water that we want to make sure that we're making time for. Yeah, I kind of like the whole idea of that. So emergency services advisory committee meeting, there was a meeting. Again, this is a typo, I guess. I think the meeting was on the 18th.
Yes, maybe. And the next one is August 17th.
Okay. August 17th. Okay, I missed the beginning of that meeting. There's a lot of time spent on the fire station and the report right. that came out of that.
And the other two items, big items, were the committee request that we move forward with a standard of cover study. I was hoping to have that as an RFP for your approval tonight, but there's some holes in it that I couldn't fill before the deadline. Okay. So that'll be on the July. And that's basically to have a consultant come in and study our emergency response currently and what we may need in the future. It's going to be a big piece to go along with the station assessment. The other thing was the budget, and they did, ESAC did recommend that we approve at least the 301 budget. And then finally, you met Tom. I was glad Tom showed up because that was the other big news from that night.
Okay, Basin Management Committee meeting. I guess that's me, given that that's time.
It was pretty much devoted to the annual monitoring.
Yeah.
That was the big deal.
Yeah, that was the big deal.
A few things on the executive director's report. And the other one on that one was Title 19, which I kind of talked to you about tonight.
Already. Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to get used to not just turning to you for that. Yeah. director's announcements of district and community interests and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Anything anyone wants to talk about?
I attended something. What was it called? It was the meeting you used to run, the CSDs, the
CSDA.
CSDA.
Yeah, I attended the CSDA meeting.
Okay.
And there was a presentation about the waste management. Yeah. I made a comment about
Ron being difficult. I'm like, he's there working for us. He's awesome. He's like, he's little, but he's a. So thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah. Sorry, I should have brought the meeting notes. I think it's just mostly kind of what we knew about the rate increases.
Okay. Well, thank you for representing us.
Although, I think they said something was coming down by 1%, you know, but after it's gone up 98%. Yeah.
That's the IWMA fee.
Right. That fee's coming down. I don't know if people are going to feel that so much after it went up so much.
Okay. Response to previously asked questions. We're probably good there.
Yeah. I did want to say thank you for working on the investment strategy. I appreciate that you're keeping an eye on that for us.
I do too. I felt good after that
meeting. Yeah. Working on it. They actually kind of reached out to us.
Yeah. It was interesting because just real quick, you know, Chris and I were trying to do due diligence. We had talked with another financial advisor, but both felt the fees were way too high. Just didn't get a good feeling.
A little small for them. Right? That's basically our current broker that helped us with the refinance. I talked to them and they presented.
And then Optum showed up and they focus on small agencies like us and provide great service, I believe they will. And then I talked with Mechanics Bank and they offer a strategy, but that would be me involved every day managing it.
No, we don't need that.
Okay. I mean, I think we did enough due diligence and we found a good solution, but it doesn't mean like we couldn't change in the future.
Of the selling points to me was the 30-day opt-out. Even if you sign a one-year contract, you got a 30-day cancellation that they want you to be happy with them. So,
and what I liked about them is he'd been doing the finances for Chula Vista. So they understand like what our issues are and what we need and what the parameters are, you know, not that the other people don't, but our previous broker, I mean, I think they understand too, but you know, they've been at it from the position of being in the government. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I think that showed.
Does anyone want to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I don't want to pull anything unless I'd like to just ask a question for clarity here.
If I may, go right ahead.
On item number 7, I don't know if it's 7E or 7F. It depends on where you're looking.
So I think there's no A because I noticed that too, that I think A is any. And then it starts with B. So I think if you change it to B is A, I think that's how it works.
Yeah.
Well,
that's correct. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. I figured it out.
Yes. Well, I saw that too, but there is one place where there is an A, so I don't want to go there. But anyways, this is the one establishing appropriation limit for fiscal year 2023-2024.
Yes.
This is really just a question, I think, so this numbers that are in the chart there on Exhibit A, where it says the limit and then the factor.
Yes.
That's a spending limit, but it's not, we don't have to spend it. I guess that's what I'm trying to clarify here.
Correct. Okay. Correct. It's called the GAN initiative, or GAN, however you want to pronounce the gentleman's name that started this. It was a way to monitor government spending based on factors like inflation, population growth, et cetera. So basically what we do as staff, the California Department of Finance provides us with a formula that we just plug in numbers that kind of govern, that then sets that cap. And so that means we can never spend more than that, but it doesn't mean we have to spend that.
Okay.
So this in our budgets run around 8 to 9 million, somewhere in there. So
rather than 11 and a half. Exactly. Okay. That I just wanted to clarify that because, and I'm not picking on you, but there was just a one-page staff report. So I just want to make sure I understand. So yeah. I'm not pulling that. Just clarify that for me.
No, this is an annual exercise. Okay, no items pulled from the consent agenda. We'll go to public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please raise your hand or come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, we have none in the room. We have resolutions, so will we need a roll call on this?
We need a motion, which I would like to make.
I was trying to cut a step or two.
This is always my job and
yes.
Matthew's job to second. So I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I will second.
Okay, with that, we'll do the roll call vote.
Vice President Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Womack.
Yes.
President Sesenia.
Yes. Okay, with that, future agenda items. Anybody have anything that they need to get out there? Things seem to find us. Closing board comments. I want to say thank you for continually calling attention to staff around here. I appreciate everything they do. Every time I see a truck go down the road, just knowing what goes on here in the office, knowing that everybody's basically content to work here, and we have some long-term employees, and that speaks loudly. So thank you for continuing to do that.
Yep, can't say enough about them.
Yeah.
So are you going to do the regular? Because school's going to be out soon.
Oh, school's out. The kids are,
It's out next week.
Next week. Okay. Okay. Well, darn it. I'm going to miss all the bicycles in the morning. That's kind of my morning ritual. Grab the newspaper and watch the kids ride by. And then the ones that are on the wrong side of the street, you know, I try and refrain from being dad. And get over. Yeah. But yes, please be careful. Summer's here. Kids will be out and around, and let's just slow down and enjoy our town. Any other closing comments?
June gloom. June gloom. I love it.
Yeah, you know what? You don't have to water plants so often. It's good on our water bills.
I was talking to someone in Arizona today. I'm so glad we're here.
Okay, with that, we'll adjourn and see everyone next month.